The best of John Bishop's Alphabet Soup.
City Talk 105.9. It's the weekend. He's Bish. This is John Bishop's Alphabet Soup. City Talk 105.9.
I've never seen an aardvark.
You have seen an aardvark.
Not in real life. You don't get many in witness.
No. Yeah. There's probably an aardvark appreciation society in someone's bedroom in witness. There must be somebody who's got a knowledge of aardvarks beyond the limited knowledge that we have. But I agree with you. There's not a lot of them in witness.
Do you know when you say aardvark, do you know what I always think of? Blackadder.
Blackadder, why?
I think it was the third series. And he had this dictionary, and he had to write a dictionary. And the first word he came up with was aardvark. But he couldn't think of anything else. You must have seen the episode.
No.
And you have a life, don't you? But for those that don't watch UK Goal all the time, you'll see an episode that he mentioned aardvark. That's what I always think. Anyway, carry on.
Thanks for that.
It's okay.
So the two things that you think of at aardvark are the Blackadder and the fact you've not seen any in Quicksave lately. You don't see them. No kid goes to the zoo to look for the aardvark. No one says, I want to go to the aardvark enclosure. They are the most much maligned animal. And I think it's partly because of the name. It's got a long snout and a long tongue. That's all the Oxford English Dictionary can say about it. The aardvarks, if I'm right, are the ones that eat the ants, aren't they? They're ant eaters. And they put the snout down the big... Because the ants in Africa aren't like the ants that we've got. They're the ones that build these big anthills, and so we have to put a snout right down this big anthill and suck all the ants. They're like the Hoover. They were the first Hoover. They were God's Hoover because they Hoover the hands out with this big long snout and then eat them. Now, that's a brilliant thing. Now, I'm not suggesting, we've all had that same problem that we've had, you know, when you're having a barbecue. I'm not suggesting that every barbecue could do with an aardvark, but you know when you're having your barbecue and then the ants come out, and they come out between the stones in the garden, and then they all come around and they're in a big long line. It'd be great if you had an aardvark hoover just to go... Instead, what we do, we resort to what I've always done anyway to get the ants under the flags is to resort to boiling water. Which, when you think about it, is a terrible way to die if you're an ant. Because all of a sudden, you're with all your other ant mates and you've got on that march that they're doing. They're fascinating. They invented the conga, ants. Because if you ever see ants, they're all in a big long line conga. You never see ants just squandering everywhere. They get a big long line and then they all go into the same hole. And they must all be down there going, well, that was good, wasn't it, the way we walked? And then, what's that? It's boiling water. And it's terrible getting, because they don't know what boiling water is. In the ant world, no one's got a kettle. They're not built for boiling water. They've no idea. But they stand a fighting chance against an aardvark. You've got a big anthill and you see a big long snout come and you say to your kids, run! Get it to the aardvark! Get out the way! So I think aardvarks are much maligned because it was definitely the aardvark that gave everyone the idea of the Hoover. But what I feel most strongly about is the name. Someone somewhere saw that. I don't think aardvarks know that they're called aardvarks. They've probably got their own names for each other, as most people have. I don't think the aardvarks walk around recognising what they are. But somebody somewhere who found them in Africa, because that's where they're from, somebody thought, right, I'm going to name that animal. And looked in the dictionary and thought, I'm going to have the first word in the dictionary. I'm going to name the animal aardvark, just so it doesn't get lost with everything else. You know, it doesn't disappear into the teas of the tigers and the tarantulas and stuff. So they called it aardvark. But that means that it's because it's got a silly name, no one really cares as much about it as they should do. You used to be able to go and get a butty, whereas they can't give you a butty now. They want to give you a ciabatta. Now, I don't mind the ciabatta, but they always insist on cooking the ciabatta. Do you know what I mean? And really, when you're looking at your batter, it's just a butty that's been ran over, isn't it? It's just a thin butty. It was a big loaf, and it's a flat loaf that's been... It's like croissants. That's another food that doesn't make any sense. Croissants. Croissants are rubbish.
Everyone's saying that croissants are brilliant. You need to, if you've had a croissant, have you ever tried a croissant's just an empty pasty.
Boomerangs.
Boomerangs.
Boomerangs. I'll tell you why I hate boomerangs. Not because boomerangs exist, it's because they're broke. Every boomerang I've ever had doesn't work. Have you ever made a boomerang come back?
I have, but not right back into my hand. It's come kind of full circle.
No,
You're not doing it right, John.
No, it's not that I'm not doing it right.
It's in the flick of the wrist.
It's that they're not real. It's a fallacy. The idea that boomerangs, like apparently the Aborigines used to throw a boomerang, it used to hit an animal and still come back. No, as soon as it hit something, it turned into a stick and fell over. They don't come back. They're selling us a lie.
Tattoo's hat came back when he hit the statue named James Bond.
Well, first of all, Tattoo is a midget, and I don't think you can ever trust a midget who throws razor blades around. I mean, midgets at the best of time are people you've got to be a little bit wary of, because they're like Brussels sprouts. You never know when they're going to get angry. But when they're throwing a hat at people that can sever their heads, I really don't trust them.
Was it Tattoo? Was it? Was that how?
Oh no, no, Tattoo! I tell you, Tattoo. Tattoo was on Love Island, wasn't
it? The plane.
Remember it? You're thinking of what's his name?
Odd Job.
Odd Job talking to me. Odd Job. Remember Odd Job? Here you go.
It was a hat disguised as a boomerang.
No, it was a hat. That was a hat, but it cut the head off.
But it came back.
Tattoo was great, wasn't it?
The plane.
But people, I always wondered what it must have been like if you'd have been sat on the plane and then you got him going, hey, the plane, and then you're landing. Have we landed yet? They're all still little. He's the only one running at the plane. No, he's still little. Look, I don't think we're on the ground yet.
John Bishop, Alphabet Soup, City Talk 105.9.
Spanish style of singing and dancing.
That's great fun.
Flamencos.
Yeah, I went to a couple of flamenco nights in Barcelona. Barcelona. And they're brilliant nights.
If you had a goalie?
Yeah, I think I did. I can't really remember, to be honest, because it's one of those nights. What they
No, did... no, you can't remember. I can tell you what, everyone who's in that room, if you flamenco, they remember.
It'll come back one day. But what they do in these typical nights is that you have rows and rows of tables, like they had in the old King Henry VIII days, and they just ply you with drink, and you're doing it on tables and everywhere else. Brilliant. The Catalans know how to do it.
Oh, they know how to do it.
It's not a shame.
It's not just a Catalan thing, though, is it?
No. But I'm saying they know how to do it in
Barcelona. Yeah.
You know. But then again, I've seen it done in Mallorca. It's not quite the same. I think you've got to go inland.
Yeah, but you saw it done by a girl from Rochdale in Mallorca. Hey, look. I can only come here to work in bar. Look, I'm doing my best. Shut your face. Look at me bar ass, Kate. Get a load of that. Yeah, well, it'd be something, though, to be able to do. But what always got me about that as well is the blokes. They wear Simon Cowell pants, don't they? The blokes who do flamenco have the trousers right up to the nipples,
right,
don't they?
Yeah.
Did you ever find out why that was? Does it make you a better flamenconist?
It's just a costume, just the way they do it.
Yeah.
You know, like a clown wears his outfit. It's just part of the culture. It's the same time.
No, but that's Spain's. No, let me just clarify. Spain's a country with a history. Clowns don't have a country. They don't have part. They don't have. When you say it's like a clown, it's part of their culture, part of their history. They're clowns. There's not a clown land somewhere. But there's a load of clowns getting born. And clowns are walking. I wouldn't that be brilliant.
You know what it means.
Wouldn't that be brilliant if there was an island just where clowns lived? Imagine working in a clown shoe shop. What size? It doesn't matter. You're getting 23. Try 23. Look at the size of them. Go on. A clown mechanic. You'd be a nightmare if you could fix that car, wouldn't you? No! Wait, look, I've got in the car and the doors are still on it. This is rubbish, this.
But everyone would be happy. There'd be
tears of a clown. There'd be plenty of tears of a clown.
Are you coming in a tune here?
But also, as well, you'd never know if anyone had a cold, because everyone's still got a red nose anyway. Yeah, what would they do in Clownland on Red Nose Day? I'm just not going out. Everyone's laughing at me.
What about a fancy dress party?
Yeah.
They go dress as me and you.
Yeah, they go as an accountant.
I've come as a civilian. Yeah. I've come as a civilian. Look, no makeup on. And look at the smell of that flyer. Smell me flower. See, didn't even spit at you.
Now, I'm not entirely against Brussels sprouts, but if they were that good, we'd eat them more than on Christmas Day. Any food that only comes out once a year can't be that good for you. It's like an angry cabbage of Brussels sprouts, isn't it? When you look at a Brussels sprout, you know, like you get a little fella with a skinhead who wants to kick off with you, and you look at a cabbage. You know the cabbage wouldn't want to have a fight with you, but you look at the Brussels sprouts on the plate and they're all looking at you as if they're going, go on, eat me, go on, have a go, go on. And then when you put it in your mouth and you bite into it, it's like punching you in the throat, isn't it? Because there's that aftertaste, that sprouty aftertaste. You don't get with cabbage. Cabbage sort of says, I'm cabbage, eat me. And you'll know what you're getting straight away. You can even have cabbage juice. You don't get sprout juice because sprouts are just so wound up. You have no juice until they're in your mouth and then they go, come on, take me, take me, take me.
John Bishop's Alphabet Soup. Sunday afternoon at 2 and Saturday evening at 7. City Talk. 105.9.
Aberdeen has got to be the greyest, dampest, coldest, most miserable place I've ever been in me life. And I got to be honest with you, if it doesn't exist after tomorrow, it wouldn't bother me. Any place that can have a cow named after it. It's got the Aberdeen Angus. The Aberdeen Angus.
Is that where the Angus burger comes from?
Yeah, the Angus burger is made out of this black beef cattle. There's this cattle called the Aberdeen Angus, and they only make the Aberdeen Angus burger from the Aberdeen Angus cow. You know, it's getting a bit pedantic, to be honest with you, isn't it? Who knows when you're eating it? But also, like, I went to Aberdeen, and what got me is, like, I got there. I did a gig in Aberdeen, and I travelled up on the train from Edinburgh, and it was a beautiful train ride, absolutely lovely. The coast of Scotland is fantastic. And then I get up at Aberdeen, and it's grey. Everything is grey. They've built the whole city out of this granite stuff that's just grey. And everywhere you look is grey. People's faces are grey. Inside, it's grey. Just grey, 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 grey. And I walked into this, like, hotel, because I hadn't booked anywhere to stay. And I said, have you got any rooms? She said, no. What you should do is to go down, listen to this, listen to this. Go down, and I'm sure the phrase she said was Sunset Boulevard. Go down to Sunset Boulevard along the coast. Along the coast of Aberdeen and see there might be things there. Now, I followed their directions and I followed it to a small fairground. Now, I want you to picture this. I'm in the greyest, coldest, miserablest place I've ever been to. They've got a fairground. Can you imagine going on dodgem cars when you're too cold to even eat hot dogs? It's freezing. The dodgem cars, they're that cold that when they crash into each other, they just stick. They just get stuck together. And someone has to come along with that spray, that antifreeze, and get them off. There's a beach where you can sit on the beach and you can look out. And you know what you see when you look out? Oil wells. What kind of a night out is that?
Am I right in thinking this is the same town that's just rejected Donald Trump to build a golf course?
Same place.
And he was going to inject billions and he turned him down.
Same place. He was going to build something outside and he go, no, we know we want that. We know we want that. Otherwise, we may end up laughing. Hey, we don't be wanting people coming up here with smiles and money. We don't want your money and your happiness up here. Look at it. It's grey. I don't know, obviously they're not Welsh, I haven't got my accents off. I sound more like an Aberdeen Angus beef cattle thing, don't I? But, you know, hey, Donald Trump says I'm going to spend billions and build this old golf complex. No, we don't want people here. It's horrible. I don't know what he was going to play. It's dark for 9 months of the year. You'd have to play golf with the miners at on. It's honestly, if you can't,
golf balls.
If you go any further, the next major town's Reykjavik. There's just nothing there.
Before we carry on with the show and have an hour of warbling madness, do we know whether it's worth bothering, or should we just phone the two people who listen up? Should I phone me mum up and your mum and just have a chat? This is John Bishop and Kelvin Roberts. This is the Alphabet. As we see it, it's the A to Z of everything that we ate. And then after 26 weeks, we're going to do the A to Z of everything that we like. I say after 26 weeks, although when you do take breaks like the last 4 weeks has been because of the football, this alphabet may well last. It'll be like the Chinese alphabet. It'll have 800 weeks in it.
Oh, whose phone is that?
Oh, look at that. Listen to that. What a ring. That's not mine. Listen to that ringtone.
That could be the listener. Hello. You listening? DAB. Thanks for calling. Appreciate that. Okay.
Do,
do,
do.
That's smashing that.
That was a fantastic ringtone. Where'd you get the ringtone from?
I think it's one of these that you see on TV. Hey, ring now for only £15.
Hey, exactly. You wonder why you're skint. You wonder why you have to go to the National Weekend to try and win your rent.
I'm very happy. War with the world. I mean, I know I'm doomed, but...
I went to see the musical. I went to see it when I was on it in Manchester. Did you go?
No, but I've heard about it. I believe it is quite good.
It is good, and it was way of saying, but the way it was set up at the MEN Arena, I went with Melanie, and we were in the MEN Arena, and we're massive, we're up in the gods. And the way it is, the War of the Worlds, if you don't know about it, is about the aliens come down to Earth, and they fire things. But the problem was, they were trying to recreate the alien coming down. But we were above the spaceship, so when they tried to bring the spaceship down, we could see the lads lowering it down. It just killed it. There wasn't once during the whole show I was scared.
Is it a reenaction of the original?
It is a reenaction of the original, yeah. Really? And there's the man who's the soldier and stuff.
So all the bacteria and all the crowds and the MEN killed all the aliens.
Killed all the aliens. All the smell of the Manchester crowd killed the aliens. Yeah, that could be true. That could be true. If you don't know War of the Worlds, what it is, it's this musical version of aliens coming down from Mars, isn't it? They're taking over the world, and then what kills them is the bacteria that we all live and breathe, and they've got no resistance against.
That's right.
Next time you see a kid with a snotty nose, all the parents, don't wipe it. That's his protection.
Saving his life.
Hey. If you ever seen a kid with a snotty nose get hit by an alien, it's 100% protection. It's cytoplasm from the human race. You know, I remember having waxed for years.
Don't put the kettle on.
I haven't waxed for years and going to doctors. And it's an amazing thing if you ever have this done to you. If you have waxed for years and you get your ear syringed. The doctor looked and said there's something wrong with your drum, which made me think there was a pair of bongos inside my head. Some little man inside saying, here's a message. But he said, there's too much wax in your ear, it's all clogged around. So what they pour something into your ear, and you've got to shake your head about a bit, and then you syringe your ears. And anyone listening to this will tell you, it's like becoming a superhero. Because all of a sudden you can hear things you didn't hear before. You hear people dropping pans over in the Wirral. It's incredible. It's a magical thing. Everyone should get their ears syringed once in their life. All of a sudden your head feels massive because there's all this noise just coming into it and bouncing in and out. So I don't like the idea of having this big knobbly bit of flesh around. And as you say, I agree with you. Probably it does carry on growing, because I do notice with old men, there's a point in a man's life, it doesn't seem to happen with women, there's a point in the man's life where your ears are too big for the head that they're on. And it's always probably after 75. You know that bit where you've just gone, And it's also the other thing as well, which I've never seen women have. Women never have hairy ears, do they?
No.
But you men do.
I was thinking back then to some girls I've been out with, but no.
Oh, no. How disappointing would that be?
When you get a hairy tash, sometimes you think it might spread. It might be...
Oh, no. It might be genetic. No. I couldn't imagine nibbling on it. Oh, no.
They must be out there. There must be some hairy...
There must be. I mean, one would suggest that there is, but... I'm sorry, and we're putting an image inside people's heads now that is just wrong. Hairy ears on men's wrong, and nobody ever cultivates it, but there's actually a thing in the paper, and last year, the longest ear hair in the world. You know how long it is? 13 inches.
13 inches?
There was a fella in India, and there was a photograph of him holding his ear hair. Now, I think if you want to be in the Guinness Book of Records, that's one thing. There's got to be a point between personal pride and being a freak. Ear hair that's 13 inches long. There's no skill in that. You haven't grown it, have you? You haven't slept with your head in a greenhouse.
There's a certain skill in not slapping it off.
Oh.
What does he do, curl it up?
I don't know. I don't know. He must never hear anything.
The best of John Bishop's Alphabet Soup.
City Talk 105.9.
I was starstruck the other day, because guess who was in the actual studio?
Who?
Chewbacca.
Chewbacca.
What was that?
That's the noise that Chewbacca made, wasn't it?
That was nothing like the noise Chewbacca made.
It was.
It was nothing. That was more like Schumacher than Chewbacca.
No, don't. That's the noise he makes when he's in the Millennium Falcon with him and he. What noise did he make?
This is the noise. Now do your impression again. Sounds like he needs a locket.
Yeah. That's it when he's having an asthma attack. Do this, if you listen to this, he sounds more like a camel. You know what I mean? So what was he doing in here?
There's a Star Wars convention over on the water somewhere. Ah, I'll tell you what. You know, the ironic thing is, he was in the same studio as the Harlem Globetrotters, who looked like midgets compared to this guy.
When was all this happening?
On Friday morning, with Phil and Kim.
Oh, yeah, I wish they'd have been here. The Harlem Globetrotters were here.
Yeah, but they were two little guys. You know, they were very good, though. They couldn't have spin a ball.
Oh, but
they weren't that tall, though. You know.
But what's he like, Chewbacca?
Oh, he's a lovely fella.
My Mrs. Melanie used to work on an airline, and she checked him in to a flight, and I said, how did you know it was him?
He's walking up.
Imagine standing for a flight, and there's Chewbacca behind you.
I hope I get some leg room.
But it was the same thing. It was part of some convention and they've been asked to bring him forward as like a celeb and stuff. He actually signed. We've got a signed photograph to one of the kids, Joseph Tujo, and he signed his real name. But it's a picture of Chewbacca. And he signed that. I just thought, he's spending all his life being famous for not looking like he looks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't be giving me that.
I'm not going into conspiracy theories. That's another show. You know?
You don't think people landed on the moon?
I never said that.
You said that. You said that never happened. You've just said now on radio, on air, when other people are listening, that no one's ever landed on the moon.
I was asking you the question whether people have landed on the moon. It probably came out a bit wrong.
I don't know everything, Kelvin. I know a few things. I don't know if they landed on the moon. I wasn't there. There's a chance, though. I'm prepared to believe that they landed on the moon. I am prepared to believe that they landed on the moon.
Well, I'll take a different view and I'll say it's yet to be done.
You think that they mocked it up in Hollywood?
I think it was a scam. I think they're in a hangar somewhere out in the desert, you know.
Pretending to land on the moon.
Well, why not?
I don't know, but I just think if you were Buzz Aldrin, at some point you'd have a few drinks, wouldn't you? You know, when you've come back from supposedly landing on the moon, and you'd be having a few drinks in some bar in Texas where everybody's saying, you're the second man who went to the moon, and you'd be going, I never. And you just get drunk. You know what everyone's talking about? What was his face? The first one who put his foot down. Small step for man. Who was he? Neil Armstrong.
Yes.
You know, if you were Buzz Aldrin, I'm sorry, but if you were Buzz Aldrin, you'd be a bit cheesed off, wouldn't you? Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin is like the, what's his name? The fat one out of TikTok.
Gary Barlow.
Yeah, he's like the Gary Barlow of the Apollo flight, isn't he? He's the one that, you know, Neil Armstrong's like the Robbie Williams or the Jason Orange. He's the one that everyone fancies, and Buzz Aldrin's just the one who happened to be there. And if I was Buzz Aldrin and it never happened, I'd get drunk one night on whiskey. I'd just walk onto national television and go, it was a joke. It wasn't a small step for mankind. He's lying. Need Armstrong. Who is he anyway? He's scared of heights. He never even went to the moon. He's scared of heights.
It could even happen yet. The main thing that people always say, the conspiracy theory people always say, and I know this is probably a little bit silly, right, but you know the flag, the American stars, and they put the flag in.
And it's waving.
Well, it's not. That's the problem. It just kind of stands still. I don't know where I'm going with this, but
What were you expecting this to do? There's no wind on the moon, is there?
Exactly. So it should just flop down. But it doesn't. It stands up to attention.
Maybe it was one of those plastic flags.
It could not be.
The ones that you get in the car where every time we're in the European Championships or something, everyone's driving around with plastic flags in the car. Maybe it was the Yank version of that. I mean, having said that, have the Russians ever been to the moon?
I think they've been after it, yeah, because they took the dog up, didn't they? Laker. They have a dog called Laker. Getting the first dog on the moon. I think it's still up there.
No. That'd be great.
It'd be great throwing
a stick for the dog on the moon. The stick would go forever when the dog would be on. That's probably what's happened. Lakers just ran off the edge of the moon. Go, come back, boy. Come back.
He's at Venus, forget him.
It's the weekend. He's Bish. This is John Bishop's Alphabet Soup. City Talk 105.9.
Egyptology, the study of Egyptian antiquities.
Now, I find that quite fascinating.
It is fascinating, because I've just been to Egypt. And this, Egypt's a brilliant place. Absolutely fantastic. And we went to Luxor and we spent 2 weeks in Luxor. And what happens? You go to Luxor and you go to the Valley of the Kings. The pyramids aren't there. They're up in Cairo in Giza. Luxor used to be the main city of Thebes. That's what was created as the new capital of Egypt. Mm. During the, I can't remember what period now. They had different kingdoms. The second phase, whatever it was. It was when Tutankhamun was knocking about. The temples are fantastic. And the ruins of Karnak and Luxor are brilliant, and the kids really enjoyed it. But the big thing that everyone says is, if you go, you've got to get on a balloon trip. You've got to go and see Egypt via a balloon, a hot air balloon. I'd never been in a hot air balloon in my life. I thought, well, I'm in Egypt, there's a chance. So I said to the kids, you want to go on this hot air balloon? The only problem is, to get on the hot air balloon when the sun comes up, you've got to get up at 4:30 in the morning. So no chance, no way my lads were getting their heads off the pillow at 4:00 in the morning. So I went on my own, and I met this group of people, and they take us in a minivan, and they take us on a boat over the Nile, and then they get picked up by another minivan, and they're racing to try and get to the balloon before sunrise. And then you get on the balloon and you take off in this balloon. They're in little compartments in the balloon. There's 20 of you in the balloon. And it's fascinating. You go up and the sun's coming up and you think, this is wonderful. This is great. And then as we're floating over a village. And it's the maddest thing I've ever seen. We're floating over this village. And there's houses in the village. And there's livestock in the house. There's cows and stuff in the houses. But there's houses with no roofs. They've got no roofs on the house. They've got no roofs, but they've got satellite dishes. I mean, I like telly, but I wouldn't say, oh, look, the telly's that good, love. I couldn't be bothered finishing the house. There's no roof on the house. And they sat there as you're floating over. They sat in their pyjamas watching the telly waving at you. The maddest thing I've ever seen. It was superb. Go to Egypt. Forget about Tutankhamun. Forget about all that. And just go and float over and watch people in their living room.
Does it not rain?
Well, apparently, this is what I said. I said, how can you have no... It hadn't rained for 3 years. Happened? Yeah, because what happens around that area, it doesn't rain. What happens is the Nile rises, because it's raining elsewhere in Africa and places. The Nile rises, floods the valley, fertilises the ground, then sinks again. And then they reap all the crop, which is why it was a good place to be. So they don't have any rain, but it's very fertile.
That Nile's dangerous. There was a death on the Nile once.
I think
David Niven was it.
No, that was a terrible, terrible joke.
Avoidance at all costs.
No.
It's dangerous.
No, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Go to Egypt. Go to Luxor.
So are these balloons... making all the camels unemployed, is that the end of the...
what a stupid thing! Are they making camels unemployed?
Is it the end of the camel hunt?
Yeah, there's loads of camels at the sign and I'm going, yeah. I used to have a great job, mate, you know. Yeah, it was hard work carrying people and stuff, but you know what I mean? There's me and a few of the lads here. Haven't I've got a ump. Got a right ump over this, you know. How can a blue make a camel unemployed? It's a different thing.
Simple question. Did you ride on a camel?
Did I? No, I didn't ride
simple
on a camel.
Yes or no?
No, no.
Did you ride in a hot air balloon?
I did.
Right, now you tell that to the camel. You try and keep a straight face.
If once the camel can fly, I'll go with it. Maybe that's it. Maybe the camel just needs a bit more. But maybe that's a hot air balloon on its back that hasn't fully inflated. No, I didn't go on a camel. Melanie did and the kids did. I didn't go on it because it looked a bit cheesed off, to be honest with you, this
camel.
It will
camel. Do, because all its customers...
All its customers, all they go, right, that could have been me. Hey, all like that going on, my granddad would be turning in his grave. This is the new format of the Bishop Sunday Service. So what happened is we sat down with the big bosses and they said, look, you're going to have an opportunity to do a show on the talk station, which was very exciting because it means I don't have to play records I don't like. But it means that you're going to have to talk. Now, because everyone else is having guests and because everyone else is doing phone-ins and because everyone else is doing the news, we'd like you to do something that doesn't involve anyone phoning, doesn't involve any guests and doesn't involve any reference to the news, which is obviously dead easy. Dead easy. So I said, what I will do is I'll come up with something that doesn't involve any of those features. And I've come up with an idea that it needs to last a year as well. We've got a year to get this right, haven't we, Kel?
That's all the contract's for.
That's what we've got, a year to get it right. So I said, what I'll do is I'll look at something and I'll do an A to Z of all the things that I ate. That'll last 26 weeks. And then an A to Z of all the things I like, that's 52 weeks. And that's the show. It's going to be the Bishop Sunday Service. It's going to cover 52 weeks, the A to Z of what I hate, then the A to Z of what I like. And then after that, we'll go on to numbers.
One to a thousand.
Yeah.
Oh. That gives us a 10-year contract.
Yeah, and then it's Chinese symbols. You know what I hate about that rat symbol? So that's it. That's what the Bishop Sunday Service is going to be about. We are going to do the A to Z of all the things that Johnny Bish hates. And I've got to be honest with you, what I did then is I went out and I got the Oxford English Dictionary. You would think, obviously, straight away, if I was to say to you, Kelvin, tell me something you hate beginning with the letter A, what would it be?
Advent.
Advent? Advent?
I just had this image of an advent calendar in my head, I don't know why. Antelope.
Advent, you miserable son. Advent. The joy that the children get of peeling back another day closer to the time that he arrives.
They get chocolate. Well, you know, it's a happy thing.
You are the Hobbit. You want to get back in your box. You can't hate Advent. That anticipation of the day when all the friends... He's arrived. And you're just in the corner going, ooh, it's another day turned. Another little symbol ripped off. Another piece of chocolate. Another little bit of joy in the mouth of a child. No, we hate Advent. Tell you one thing that I hate. No, not hate. But this thing that has now become what teenagers use all the time. Gay. That's what I hate, gay. The word gay. No, it's not the fact that the word gay, because gay used to be happy. And then gay became the word to use for what we would call gay people. But I've got a teenage son, and gay is everything. Everything. If you say to him, will you do your homework? No, it's gay. How can homework be gay? No, it's gay. Wash the dishes? No, it's gay. Put your clothes away? No, it's gay. Why did gay become the word to describe absolutely everything?
Have you got a family of Kevin and Perrys?
Honest to God, I have. They used to be great, and then they reached that point where they... And it does, like any parent listening, particularly of teenage kids, you know what I mean. Teenagers do, you know. I tell you the other thing he called gay the other day, which was just ridiculous. There was a wildlife programme on. There's a wildlife program on, and there was a lion stalking, and then the lion starts chasing these gazelles, and the lion gets the gazelle, and my youngest lad went, oh, that's unfair, the gazelle. He said, well, it's the gazelle's fault, because the gazelle's gay. How can you have a gay gazelle? I know they prance about gazelles, don't they? They do have a sort of gay dance about them, but you can't call a wild animal gay. A gay gazelle.
This is John Bishop's Alphabet Soup. City Talk 105.9.
There's one word that has become the epitome of various things that are meant to be geeky. And I think it's wrong. That word is anorak. Now, anoraks, when I was a kid, an anorak was a form of clothing. An anorak was something that was a great piece of British clothing. It was the kind of thing that your mum said, have you got your anorak with you? It was always that thing, wasn't it? Anoraks became a symbol of being nurtured, of being loved. The kid who had the new anorak, and it was always zipped up, and then you had the snorkels. Remember when snorkels came out? Snorkels were like a revelation. You could have something that was not only a coat, but a pair of blinkers as well. You could have something that limited your vision and made you feel that you were walking across the Arctic frozen north of the North Pole because you could barely see. That was a proper anorak. They were coats. They were things that meant something to people. But then what happened? People who wore anoraks, it became too popular. It became too universal. And so, like everything else in fashion, they turned against the anorak. And those who wore anoraks became geeks. Train platforms were full of anorak-wearing people taking down numbers of trains. And I'm not blaming them for the fact that the anorak lost its appeal to the wider population. But all I'm saying is we shouldn't put train spotting and warmth in one bracket. We should say, if you want to spot trains, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But the fact that they've got the same coat on as me doesn't make me the same as them.
Why don't we call them cagoules?
Cagoule. What a thing.
It fits.
A pack of Mac. A coat that disappeared in its own pocket. What a thing that was. What a marvellous invention. The fella who invented that he must have put the coat on and thought, oh, I've got no pockets. I'll be like a kangaroo with a coat and I'll put the pocket on the front. And then he's found out that if he rolled it up, it disappeared inside itself.
First thing that does my head in with K, keys.
Keys, as in opening the door?
Keys, yeah. Not the function of the key.
Yeah.
Not the creation of the key, mm-hmm. Not the shape of the key, not even that annoying machine cobblers have when they cut keys. You know that machine that they have just to try and make the cobbler look like he's an engineer and make him think he's the... that machine. And all he's doing is copying the key and he stands there, doesn't he, like he's a nuclear physicist with those goggles on. Not even that. You know what annoys me about keys?
Go on.
The little legs that they have. If you notice, I don't know if it's just me, but it can't be. Your keys tend to grow little legs when you're looking for them. When you're in a rush, the keys have grown little legs and ran somewhere else in the house, and you can never find your keys. It's the one thing I found out recently that apparently is the first thing that people look for when they run out of a house and the house is on fire.
Yeah.
The keys. I couldn't do that. I'd be on fire. I can never find my keys. I could probably count on one hand in the whole of me life where I've thought, I'm going to go out now. There's my keys. Most of the time it's, I'm going to go out now. Where are my keys?
They can only be in the last place you ever put them.
I know, but that's the stupid thing everyone says. Yo, where did you put them? Well, if you knew where to put them, well, they are. I know where I've put them, but they've walked away. They've walked away because it's impossible. As you say, with everything else in your whole life, you find it. Mm. You always find it. But with keys, they always move. And it's that thing, as you say, where people say, well, is this the last place that you... They're always... That's the other thing they say, isn't it? Oh, yeah, they're always in the last place you look.
There was this invention that never really worked where you whistled and they're supposed to whistle back at you. The keys. Not the keys, yeah. Literally, but there was a little device. And it never took off, but...
Yeah, I've
but you know, they're walking around the house, like, you know, whistling Dixie. But unless you
can... You know what that is?
What?
Be all those people who've got a lisp. You know, and they just talk and the keys would be ringing all the time. And they go, hello, sif, sif, sif. And the keys go... But, yeah, the other thing, though, that's moved on, hasn't it, to your phone. And all the fact now we've all got mobile phones. And I lost my phone. Not lost. Had it stolen. Right. On Friday. Well, it was Thursday. And what happened is I phoned it and someone answered it. And he went, hello. I said, who's that? You said, who is this? I said, my name's John. That's my phone. And he goes, I know. I said, well, I'd like my phone back. He said, okay, you can have phone back. I said, I'll give you money for the phone. He said, how much money? I said, I don't know. How much money do you want? He said, I want money for a phone. I said, well, I'll give you the money for the phone. He said, how much money? I said, look, it'll be more than a tenner. I said, oh, good. I said, I really need the phone for work. He said, I know. I lose phone. It break my heart. I said, so this is all true. I said, it was midnight on Thursday night. I said, well, look, I'll come to you now. He said, no. Now is late. Now is too late. I see you tomorrow, 9 o'clock.
What's amazing about this is that you kept the whole transcript of this conversation.
because it's in my head, because it annoyed me that much. I said, I'll meet her at 9 o'clock, and I told him where I was staying. He said, I know hotel. I see you at hotel, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock comes, he's not there, he's not at the hotel. I've just got his name. I knew, I should have known it was a wind-up when I said to him, what's your name? And he went, Robert. Nobody who speaks like, I got phone, is called Robert, Hardy. No one. So anyway, he says, I said, what's your name? He said, Robert. I said, well, give me your number. He said, no, you phone this phone. I said, well, I'm going to get Tom, you phone this phone. So at 9 o'clock, I phone my phone, no answer. Phone it again, no answer. An hour and a half away to phone. In the end, I just had to go and cancel it. I had to go and get another phone. And somewhere, someone's got my phone. What is the point of someone having my phone? I'm sorry, there was no funny bit at the end of this. I've just been trying to get it off my chest ever since. Done 2 gigs in Ireland complaining about it. They didn't laugh either. It's just one of those annoying things, isn't it? That there's some Eastern European. And I'm not suggesting that this is reflective of all Eastern Europeans. Because it's not. But there is one called Robert.
So how much was you prepared to pay to get this phone back?
100 quid, I think.
100 quid? I'd have stole it myself.
The best of John Bishop's Alphabet Soup.
City Talk 105.9.
Biggest thing that does my head in with K. Keys.
Keys, as in opening the door?
Keys, yeah. Not the function of the key.
Yeah.
Not the creation of the key, mm-hmm. Not the shape of the key, not even that annoying machine cobblers have when they cut keys. You know that machine that they have just to try and make the cobbler look like he's an engineer and make him think he's the... That machine. And all he's doing is copying the key, and he stands there, doesn't he, like he's a nuclear physicist with those goggles on. Not even that. You know what annoys me about keys?
Go on.
The little legs that they have. If you notice, I don't know if it's just me, but it can't be. Your keys tend to grow little legs when you're looking for them. When you're in a rush, the keys have grown little legs and ran somewhere else in the house, and you can never find your keys. It's the one thing I found out recently that apparently is the first thing that people look for when they run out of a house and the house is on fire.
Yeah.
The keys. I couldn't do that. I'd be on fire. I can never find my keys. I can probably count on one hand in the whole of me life where I've thought, I'm going to go out now. There's my keys. Most of the time it's, I'm going to go out now. Where are my keys?
They can only be in the last place you ever put them.
I know, but that's the stupid thing everyone says. Yo, where did you put them? Well, if you knew where to put them. Well, they are. I know where I've put them, but they've walked away, because it's impossible. As you say, with everything else in your whole life, you find it. Mm. You always find it. But with keys, they always move. And it's that thing, as you say, where people say, well, is this the last place that you... They're always... That's the other thing they say, isn't it? Oh, yeah, they're always in the last place you look.
There was this invention that never really worked, where you whistled, and they're supposed to whistle back at you. The keys. Not the keys, yeah. Literally, but there was a little device. And it never took off, but...
Yeah, why
but you know, they're walking around the house, like, you know, whistling Dixie. But unless you
know where that is?
What?
Be all those people who've got a lisp. You know, when they just talk and the keys would be ringing all the time. And they go, come on, hello, sif, sif, sif. And the keys would be... But, yeah, the other thing, though, that's moved on, hasn't it, to your phone. And all the fact now we've all got mobile phones, and I lost my phone, not lost, had it stolen, right, on Friday. Well, it was Thursday, and what happened is I phoned it, and someone answered it, and he went, hello. I said, who's that? You said, who is this? I said, my name's John, that's my phone. And he goes, I know. I said, well, I'd like my phone back. He said, okay, you can have phone back. I said, I'll give you money for the phone. He said, how much money? I said, I don't know. How much money do you want? He said, I want money for a phone. I said, well, I'll give you the money for the phone. He said, how much money? I said, look, it'll be more than a tenner. I said, I really need the phone for work. He said, I know. I lose phone. It break my heart. I said, so this is all true. I said, okay. It was midnight on Thursday night. I said, well, look, I'll come to you now. He said, no. Now is late. Now is too late. I see you tomorrow, 9 o'clock.
What's amazing about this is that you kept the whole transcript of this conversation.
Because it's in my head, because it annoyed me that much. I said, I'll meet you at 9 o'clock. And I told him where I was staying. He said, I know hotel. I see you at hotel 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock comes. He's not there. He's not at the hotel. I've just got his name. I knew. I should have known it was a wind-up when I said to him, what's your name? And he went, Robert. Nobody who speaks like, I got phone, is called Robert Hardy. No one. So anyway, he says, hey. I said, what's your name? He said, Robert. I said, well, give me your number. He said, no, you phone this phone. I said, well, I'm going to get Tom. You phone this phone. So at 9 o'clock, I phone my phone. No answer. Phone it again. No answer. Now we're an half away to phone. In the end, I just had to go and cancel it. I had to go and get another phone. And somewhere, someone's got my phone. What is the point of someone having my phone? I'm sorry, there was no funny bit at the end of this. I've just been trying to get it off my chest ever since. Done 2 gigs in Ireland complaining about it. They didn't laugh either. It's just one of those annoying things, isn't it? That there's some Eastern European. And I'm not suggesting that this is reflective of all Eastern Europeans. Because it's not. But there is one called Robert.
So how much was you prepared to pay to get this phone back?
100 quid, I think.
100 quid? I'd have stole it myself.
1973, I was 7. Would have been about this time. We had a kid living on our street. Dead funny. They lived a few doors away. And I remember, this is a true story, because it was about that time they went through a phase of having tellies that were round, and so they were like, the telly was square, but it was in a round plastic thing, because they had them on Space 1999 or something like that. And I'll never forget this kid. I'm sure they were the dogs coming running to our house saying, we've got a colour telly. And he said, what's it like? He said, it's blue. They've got a blue plastic telly with a black and white screen in the middle. It's blue. Oh, look, it is. It's blue. It's not exactly what colour telly's meant to be, son, but it'll do.
Oh, but imagine,
Steve,
black and white.
It must have breathed life into other things. Like,
lots of things in sport. I mean, I like even football, World Cup final, 1966, black and white. You don't know who's who.
Yes, you do. The Germans looked wrong. We just knew the English were the heroes and the Germans looked apologetic. This was a while ago, this. But I came home and the three lads were sat on the couch. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, the telly's broke. I said, why is the telly broke? He said, it's broke. And they had the remote control and they're pointing at it and it wouldn't work. So I walked over and pressed the button on the telly and they went, how'd you do that? That's what they said. How did you do it? They've never seen a telly pressed on.
I don't know how to put this in a delicate way, but I'm sure remote controls weren't around back in 1973.
But that's what I mean, in 1973.
What were you holding?
But no, I'm on about now. I'm on about my kids now.
Ah.
My kids now. We're sat on the couch thinking the telly's broke because the remote control didn't work. In that, me and you are of a generation where you once walked to the telly. You walked and pressed the button. That's how you control it. And it didn't matter because there was only 4 buttons because there was only 3 channels and 1 was spare. Yeah. Remember, there used to be more than 5. Why have they got so many buttons on? No one's ever going to watch 5 channels.
That's right. Look
at it. It's just incredible. And you can't go back on those times. But you sit here and you look out over the Mersey and it's like nothing's ever changed. People still need ships. People still need shoes. And also, who's meant to happen? Why now? Why aren't we all dressed in silver suits? We're in the 21st century. We should all be having 1 pill a day for food and dressed in silver suits. That's what 1973 suggested. That's what we were supposed to be welcoming home.
Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go with your bimbo, bimbo? What you gonna do with your bimbo?
The best of John Bishop's Alphabet Soup.
City Talk 105.9.